Ecclesiastes here in just a moment. You're going to see here, we're going to be talking about time. Time, right? We all like time. We all love time. We always want more of time, right? Yeah. Listen to this. If you were to live an average of 70 years, okay? Now, hopefully we'll live longer than that, but they did this little study. If you were to live 70 years old, you will spend 23 years, 4 months sleeping. Some of you maybe more, some less. You'll also work 19 years, 8 months. That doesn't sound so bad now, does it? But it seems like longer. You'll spend 10 years, 2 months going to church events or recreation, camping, vacation, that kind of stuff. You'll spend 6 years, 10 months eating and drinking. We're going to add to that this morning. You're going to spend 6 years traveling back and forth to work or to different places that you may go. 4 years, this one's kind of a little depressing, you're going to be spent in some kind of sickness or illness. And of those 70 years, you're going to spend 2 years just getting dressed. A little bit longer, the longer you live, maybe. But, you know, you look at this. Time is important to all of us, isn't it? Time is important. As we continue on this journey through Ecclesiastes, we're talking about life. What is life all about? And obviously, as we talk about life, part of that, it's pretty obvious we're talking about time, right? Because living and time are kind of synonymous. You can't be living without time, and you're not going to have time if you're not living. Does that make sense, right? We come to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 15, and the first part's going to probably sound familiar to many of you. But let's look at it. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 11 we'll start. It says, "There is a time for everything, and a season for activity, every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, a time to refrain, a time to search, and yes, a time to give up, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and even a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil, this work? I have seen this burden, this task that God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful, appropriate in its time, but he has also set eternity in the hearts of men. And yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end." You know, this may sound familiar to many of you because you may know the song that was written by Pete Seeger, set to music in the 1950s by the Byrds, called what? Turn, 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 right? Probably familiar with that song. Even those young people probably heard that song. Most of that song is directly quoting the first 8 verses. It's almost the song, other than the turn, 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 it's pretty much quoting Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 8. And we see here that ultimately what we're going to see this morning is that time is in God's hands. Ultimately, time is in God's hands. And this poem is a picture of the breadth of life, from the beginning where we start with birth to the end of our days here on earth we call death. And God oversees it all. God is the king, we might say, or the ruler over time. The teacher, now those who are new with us, or maybe just a review, the author of this calls himself the teacher. Many believe it's Solomon. And he calls himself the teacher. He's trying to give us some wisdom that he's learned over his life. And this teacher, he comes to a proper appreciation of God's timelessness. God's timelessness of his, what we call, sovereignty, or ruling over time and eternity. And he says, life moves from one season to the next, from one activity to the next, right? And it's interesting, if you read those, you notice he doesn't give judgment on any of those things. War, peace, life, death, mourning, happiness, laughing. He doesn't give judgment. He says, these are good, these are bad, these are better, these are worse. He just says, this is what it's all about. This is what we have in life. We see the full range of a human experience: birth, work, love, hate, war, peace, death. You know, it's interesting. You just look at your own life. You know, you think about your own life. You probably had experiences maybe like this. I know I have. Where one day, even in a weekend, one day you'll go to a wedding or to the birth of a child. And the very next day you go to a funeral. Right? Birth and death within a matter of hours. God is sovereign over it all. Job, some of you know the story of Job. Job experienced a lot of life, the goods and the bad. And Job says this in Job 33:4. He says, the Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. God gave me life, he says. But then he also says in Job 14:5, he says, a person's days are determined. You have decreed the number of months and have set limits that man cannot exceed. We see, he says, God's in control of birth and death and really all of the in-between. God is in control. God has time in his hands. The seasons of nature and the patterns of human activity he talks about here, they're all under the king, under God's sovereignty, under his providential care. Life is full, isn't it? You know, it's full of time. But how do we live in that time? How do we live with the time that God has given us? And the teacher here, he gives a list of 14 contrasts as he sees these things. He kind of stretches from life's events and kind of how we see life from birth to death. And as we talked about in our first two messages, the main theme that the teacher gave, he talked about life and all these things he tried to experience. And let's see if you remember, what is his kind of conclusion? Life is meaningless. He says that over and over and over again. We're going to hear it a few more times as we go through this series. He says, you know what? Life under the sun, there's a key. Life under the sun is meaningless. And when he says under the sun or under heaven, he's saying, in other words, when we live life without God, we just live it just simply focusing on things of this earth. He says, from my experience and from all the things I look at, life ultimately doesn't have deep meaning. But as we saw last week also, if we look above the sun, above the earth, if we look to God, he says, then you know what? There can be meaning. There is deeper meaning to this life. You see, God has appointed or ordained things as a part of his bigger plan. Listen again to verse 11. It says, he has made everything beautiful. That's the NIV. The New American Standard, maybe you have that one. It says, God has made everything appropriate in its time. And yet man cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. The word beautiful here, the Hebrew word literally means pleasing or right or appropriate or beautiful. And as finite beings in this fallen world, there are things that we just will not understand about God's ways, right? You probably all experienced that. We're not going to understand God's plans to the fullest. But the teacher's aim, the author of Ecclesiastes' aim in this poem was to call people to look and, in a sense, accept the fixed seasons, the activities of life, the good and the bad, the joyful and the mournful, all as part of God's divine plan and part of his sovereign plan in our lives. Ultimately, time, our lives are in God's hands. And we're able to comprehend this, you see. We're able to understand this as humans because, see, God made us for eternity. God made us eternal beings. He made us for eternity. Look at verse 11 again. Verse 11. It says, God has made everything beautiful or appropriate in this time. He has set eternity in the hearts of men, in the hearts of people. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. God set eternity in our hearts. He has made us eternal beings. And we see this eternity contrasted, right, in the small time that really we have here on earth. Everyone is born with that truth that as we grow up, we think there's got to be more than just this life. Have you ever thought of that? I sure hope there's more than just this life. And even people who aren't religious still have that mind deep inside. Do you wish that there was more than this life? Every single person would have to say yes. I sure hope there's more than just this life. We want to believe there's more than just life under the sun. And we have a capacity for eternal things. We're concerned for the future, a sense of something that transcends our immediate situation, our limited time here on earth. And yet, as we think about these things, even as Christians, we come to realize that even though we know about God, even though many of us have a relationship with God, we can't ultimately understand or see God's bigger plan. In many ways. Now, there's some things we can. We know the big picture, obviously, of salvation. But in much of life, we don't understand God's bigger plan. We can't ever comprehend God's plan for eternity in many ways. Matter of fact, the limit of our knowledge is a theme in Ecclesiastes. You go through it, you see, the limit of what we can experience or what we can know, there's a limit. We are not omniscient. We are not God. We don't know his plans, why he allows certain things and not others. Matter of fact, I think we're kind of like kids, like in the 2 or 3 year old age, that what's their favorite word besides no? Why? Why? Right? Don't touch that. Why? Don't run out in the street. Why? Or even as they get older, you know, teenagers, you know, you can't watch that. Why? And those are good questions, but you know, especially for the younger kids, many times we answer because I know what is best. And at this point, you just can't understand. You don't have the capacity to understand, so you just have to trust me. And you know, I think God says that to us. Many times we think we have it all together. We're adults now, so we should be able to know. But God says, no, you're still like that two-year-old. You can't quite comprehend all that's going on and all that I have going on. It's hard. That's the hard thing about life, right? That's the hard thing about time that we have. We won't always see the big picture. But even though we can't see the big picture, you know what the author, what the teacher says? You know, we can still enjoy this life that God has given to us. We can still enjoy this life. There's a bigger plan. We can still enjoy what God... Look at verse 12 and 13. We haven't looked at that yet. Verse 12 says, I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that every man may eat, drink, and find satisfaction in his toil or in his work, in his life. This is a gift of God. This is a gift of God. In other words, we're to make good of the time that we have and enjoy our time with God and the gifts, the things that he's given to us. We all have 24 hours in a day, right? How are you going to use it? How are you using it? Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, Paul said this to the church about how we use our time. He says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Making the most of every opportunity. Why? Because these days are evil. Listen to a quote from one person. I don't know who it is, but I found it somewhere. It says, one person said this, our goal is not to find more time, but to use our time more wisely. If there are leaks in your time dam or your time dike, why not plug them? If your priorities need to be shifted more clearly from the trivial, then that would be to your advantage. If planning would help organize your day, then that's only smart to do that. And if you should give a kind but unqualified, unexplained no, say no more often, then do it. It's easy to forget that time is our slave, not our master. Time shouldn't be our master. We should master the time that we've been given. Time is ultimately, however, in God's hands. There is a sovereign king over all things, and he wants us to enjoy the time that he has given to us. He wants us to enjoy the relationship that we have been offered with him. Augustine said this, you made us for yourself. God, you made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you. Our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you. God knows there's no such thing as lasting happiness or meaning under the sun or without him. Right? That's kind of been our theme. He wants us to understand that God, for his sovereign purposes, chooses to mix good, bad, joy, sorrow together to make something ultimately beautiful. And we're called to enjoy everything that is happening around us. He says, rejoice in the tough times, right? James says that, rejoice always, even in our trials. Receive the time you have, the life you've been given as God's gift, and enjoy it with him. As we said last week, the teacher said, we can enjoy the simple gifts of life, eating, drinking, spending time with family and friends. We can enjoy those things as a gift from God. We can find our satisfaction in God when we look to Him for even the simple things in life. Here's a question. Here's kind of the big question. Are you able to do that in your life? A question I ask myself too, for us as a church, are we able to enjoy that as a church? The good times, the tough times. When people come and when people leave. When we're a time of plenty, when we're a time of want, are we still able to enjoy God and know that God is in control? God is over all time. It's hard. I'm not saying this is easy, right? When tough times come, it's not easy. But God wants to teach us. Let's finish with the last two verses, verse 14 and 15. It says, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere Him. I love that word, revere Him. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past into account. God says, in all of this, all the time, all the things that are going, you know what I want for you? I want you to trust me. To trust, to revere in God's sovereignty. Time is in God's hands. Ultimately, nothing can be added or taken away. The teacher's aim in that poem, verse 1 through 8, was to call us ultimately to see the big picture, to accept the seasons of life, the dichotomies of this life, that His sovereignty is in control of all circumstances, life, yes, even death. And we're going to wrestle with the hows and the whys. That's okay. We can ask the whys, and sometimes He gives us the answers to the whys, but sometimes He doesn't. But we're still called to trust. We're called to revere Him. Now, I don't know about you, but I often don't like God's timing on some things in my life. That could have better happened later, don't you think, God, or earlier? I'm a little busy right now. Sometimes we look back and see God's goodness. We see something that was bad or tough, and years later, we come and look back, and God gives us a glimpse to see, oh, wow, that's why that was happening. That's how You helped me through that. We see the sovereignty of God, and as a result, we revere God. We fear. That's another word, fear. A lot of times we don't like that word. But we are to fear God, to honor Him, to have revere, to have respect for the God who has eternity in His hands. Knowing that God is in control of everything from here to eternity encourages us to continue on to trust Him. And to enjoy the life that He's given to us. To enjoy the small things as well as the big things. Our response is to trust Him in the whys and the whens, right? When's this going to happen, God? I've been praying for it. To trust in the whys and the whens of our life. See, our life is not based on luck. It's not based on chance. It's not even based on the devil's doing or his temptations or his hurt in our life. It is ultimately, we are under God's sovereign hand. Will you trust Him in the timing of your life? Will you trust Him in the weeping and in the laughing? In the tearing down and in the building up? In life and yes, even in death. Because we know there's more than just this life, right? We know that God has made us for eternity, and it's through Jesus Christ that we have the hope of eternity with God, eternity with Him. May you and I make good of our time. As you look ahead to your life, some of us have a lot of years, some of us maybe just a few. But may we look ahead with our time and enjoy our time with God. May we truly learn to trust Him, to revere Him, ultimately knowing that God has time in His hands.